Action.
Hi, I'm Matthew Silver, and that was an awesome podcast. I don't want to. I'm talking too much. Shit. Would you, hi. Hi, I'm Matthew Silver. Check out my YouTube channel, Matthew Silver Love Fart Awakening.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to A Place for Humans podcast. My name is Dakota Wintz, and right now I'm in Costa Rica. I'm in San Jose, staying at my friend's house, and just had a long weekend on at Envision. Envision is a music festival. It's kind of like a little psychedelic community, and everyone kind of dances to music in the jungle, and it was a good time. My mom went, and my mom's boyfriend went. I uploaded a vlog today. You might have seen it, and I got a lot more videos to upload. So I got some really funny and good footage from this little trip. But I'm getting ready to go to Mexico in 3 days, and I've got the most insane schedule planned for Mexico. Not only am I going to... Okay, so I had these experiences with mushrooms, and I know a lot of people that watch my podcast or watch my YouTube channel have also had these experiences. That's how we have managed to find each other. And there's a tradition or a group of people called the Mazatecs who have traditions of working with mushrooms and having these insane spiritual experiences. Specifically, the thing that interests me about that is the spirit contact. If you take a high dose of mushrooms, it seems like you are in contact with a spirit, or people call them entities or beings or aliens or whatever you want to call them. But the thing is that this is a reproducible experience. And I'm not totally against the idea that it's all not, you know, that's in my head. It could be in my head. I mean, this experience is in my head, you know? But, so I'm really interested because I don't have, especially in America, you know, I personally don't have any tradition of this thing. You know, my parents never taught me anything about mushrooms, and America definitely doesn't talk about mushrooms or talk about these spiritual experiences. If anything, it renounces them as being illusion. And America kind of tells you that if you can't touch it or feel it, see it, smell it, then it's probably not real. And I think I disagree with that. I think there are things and places that exist outside of our sensory perception. And I think we actually have deeper senses than we think we do. But I think that we get so distracted and we get so lost in our thoughts and our judgments and all these things that it really keeps us anchored to a lower aspect of ourselves. But I think it's possible to break these. And that's, you know, through meditation, through psychedelics, through all these different methods, through the infinite methods that people have figured out, fasting, chanting, all these different things bring you to similar spaces, give you similar realizations. So I'm interested to go to Mexico and see what I can learn about people that already have a map. And that'll be exciting. But anyways, this podcast, this is just the intro. This podcast is with Matthew Silver, who I'm just met at Envision. And Matthew Silver he calls himself a sacred clown. But to me, he is a shaman. You know, I think it's up to the artists, the poets, and the shamans to be present, especially now and today. The role of the shaman and the artist and the poet, I think these are all, it's all the same role. It's all to shake up reality and to awaken people through unconventional creativity. And I think that Matthew Silver, God, he's always been such an inspiration to me, so this podcast means something to me. And I don't know if, like, Shakespeare had this quote, and maybe I said this in the podcast, but Shakespeare had this quote, all the world's a stage. All the world is a stage. And Matthew Silver is like the embodiment of that Shakespeare quote. And when I first met Matthew, we were standing in Dominical, which is a little beach town in Costa Rica. We were just talking, and I asked him, I was like, how did you get into this? How do you find yourself in a position where you're screaming at people on the street as a form of art. And he said he had the idea, and then he had another idea not to film it. And I don't know, it's just so profound to me that he's doing all this. He's just doing it. He's not filming it. He's not even really looking for recognition. He's really just shaking people awake. And I think he is a special person in our generation. He's one of the only true artists that I've come in contact with in a long time, and I really appreciate him. So anyways, I just wanted to give you guys a little update about what's going on. I didn't get to upload a podcast last week because I was busy. Yeah, I don't know. So shout out to our sponsor, StayHappyStayWeird.com. That's my clothing company. If you would like to buy a t-shirt and support this podcast, that's one of the ways to do it. Also, sign up to our Patreon if you want to receive these podcasts a day early or early. You know, maybe I'll upload it even before a day. Like this one will probably go up before a day. You'll probably get this one a few days early. Patreon.com/DakotaWint. And I have all kinds of rewards on there. And if you ever want to talk to me directly, that's the best way to do it because I keep in contact with my Patreon people. So, without further ado, I bring to you a podcast with Matthew Silver and my buddy Moonhawk. New Brunswick. Bring us in, baby.
Sorry if you noticed that I was a little nervous and kept cutting people off. I'm not used to these three-way conversations, and I've never had a threesome before, so this is my first time. Enjoy. I step outside to catch my breath. The bullshit I've been taking in is making me sick.
It's up to you. I don't know. Alcoholics are talking. It's up to you, right? Sync the audio. Okay. Ready? Is this how we're going to talk? Is this comfortable to talk like this? Because we're going to be looking at each other. I don't know. We're not looking at the camera.
Oh, yeah. It's comfortable.
Yeah. I like it. All right. what episode is this? I guess it don't matter. What's up, guys? My name is Dakota, and we are in Costa Rica right now, and this is a Place for Humans podcast. I got a couple of my buds here with me. This is Matthew and Danny. Moonhawk, you guys might know who Moonhawk is. You might know who Matthew is. But we all met up here today.
Hey, everybody.
And decided to bust out a podcast. Yeah, I guess I can get this thing a little closer. And, we're here at Envision doing your performing.
Yes, Love Fart Performing, Evolving Consciousness through Love Farts.
Okay, how'd you come up with that name, Love Farts?
So a fart is it's an opening, so it's the beginning and the ending. It's a portal, it's an opening, and fart rhymes with heart and love, and so it's like, it must be released. You can't hold it in. And
yeah, like they say, if you love something, let it go. Right?
There you go.
Yes. And then, Danny, I guess you play music, but we're just, me and Danny are just here doing some vlogging. Mm-hmm. Envision starts tomorrow?
Yeah.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
When are you performing?
I'm going to go out there around 4:30.
Are you nervous?
Get nervous? Well, I get nervous in the moment. Mm-hmm. In the moment when it's just about
just right
to,
there, yeah.
It feels good to get nervous because then it means like my body
and
my
mind.
I care.
Yeah,
I'm excited and I care.
You got any rituals that you do before you like to pump yourself up?
Well,
or to, like, get into character.
I like the. You ever hear the fire breath?
No. Can you give me an example?
It's just like.
And then you jump, right?
And you know,
then you start screaming.
Well, you want to save the scream for the performance.
That's an Osho technique.
Osho
has a technique like that. And you jump up and down, and then you start screaming all the profanities. And then once you're done, it's just...
Right.
Oh, you're talking about Osho, the guy
that... Rolls Royce guy we were talking about.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he was great. He's great.
What a great guy. No, great guy. I think he was cool.
Well, he was kind of confusing because of the Rolls Royce and the, you'd think, is he being a clown and tricking everybody, or is he a guy with an ego? Because he really got pissed off at his secretary, the woman who
Sheila.
Sheila, like mm-hmm. He called her a bitch.
God, yeah.
And she was, I mean, she did some really.
She did some bitchy things. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, weird things. It was, I don't know.
She tried to kill a bunch of people
and got caught.
Well, she poisoned 600, 700 people.
That's
at
a
restaurant.
Bitchy thing. Yeah. It's not nice. It's not a nice thing to do.
It's a weird thing. I don't. Yeah. It's,
I like that he acted like that because. Osho, without a doubt, had spiritual knowledge, I think. His message was, you can't find any flaws in his message. The biggest flaw you can find is, well, he drove Rolls Royces. I think it's cool. It's like it breaks you out of your ego a bit. It forces you to...
Well, he didn't just do that. He was doing drugs. He was...
Hell yeah.
He was the spiritual rock star.
He was a spiritual rock star. I think it's cool to break the what they... There's no molds. Everyone wants to live in a mold, so I think it's cool when people shake that up a little bit.
Yeah, I guess he was the original spiritual rock star.
Yeah,
I would have loved it just to experience would have been drawn to a place like
they
that.
They still have an offshoot of it in India called Auroville, and in the center of Auroville, they worship a huge crystal, giant crystal. And if you look at it from the sky, it's all geometric. The town.
Oh. At his.
I don't think it has anything specifically to do with him, but the people that were a part of his community started this community.
Oh, it started something new,
and it still exists. Yeah. You can go there now. Yeah, it's really cool. Have you ever traveled anywhere?
Yeah, Poland, Berlin, Bolivia, Peru, Israel.
Nice. What was your favorite?
My favorite is Costa Rica. I've never been here. This is a lot of fun. My favorite though, I guess I don't have favorites because you know what's happening to me.
What's happening?
We're living at a time where you've been to America or you've been to New York City,
yeah.
Or you've been around a major city,
yeah.
Internationally. And then you go to these other major cities, and all you're seeing is globalization, and I get a little discouraged.
Yeah, you've been talking about it all day.
Yeah, I know.
What is it like?
But I gotta be more positive.
Do you?
You don't gotta be anything. I just want, you know, your life is so short, right? Or it's infinite, or whatever. But there's something. You're here now, and it's like you're consciously in control of something. You think you are, at least you think you are. So there's something you gotta. There's something I feel like I gotta do. But we were talking about that earlier, and you were saying it was, you know, maybe that comes from being in America because everybody feels like they gotta do something, and maybe that's just ego. I don't know.
Yeah. What about you? Feel like you gotta do something? Well, I guess like our culture, kind of our worth is based on our productivity. Our self worth,
right.
In our culture is based on what you are doing. Are you being a productive member of society? Mm-hmm. Like they beat that into you a little bit,
right? It's in me.
It's in you,
and to some,
but it's not you, but it's in you.
Yes,
but you think it's you, and that's why you're freaking out.
Right.
Yeah.
Good point.
But that's okay, because I guess it is you on some level. But it's not the true you.
It's not the true me. Mm. It's not good to obsess or to...
Well, maybe it is.
Well, it could... Yeah, it could be. You're right. Everything is good or is it? It's like... Or it's terrible.
It's both.
You gotta be rooted... Right now, I'm talking to you. I don't feel rooted in my own chakras. So
how do you do it? Let's do something. How do you get rooted in your chakras?
Yeah, I don't know. You tell me.
Oh,
No, we're a little bit grounded. Feel more grounded?
Yeah, I like the silent emphasis.
Ramdas says, I forget the quote, but it's something like, we use words, but where we meet is in the silence behind them.
Thank you.
So the fart concept, where the what? Tell me more about your belief in love.
In farts. Do you have any philosophy on farts?
Well, so we got the farts.
Well, fart is, you know, it's a metaphor, right? Yeah. So, love, we have trouble expressing just as much as our fart. So once we get over...
I don't fart in front of anyone.
You don't fart
I was going to bring that up. Anyone. Farts
you scared?
Trigger, farts trigger, talking about farts scared? Or hearing a fart or smelling a fart triggers
I don't like
Dakota.
It. It's gross. Him. It doesn't scare me. I'm not terrified of it, but it makes me uncomfortable. Like,
well, okay, we all shit. We all
I know,
do
but I don't
things
want to admit
that
it.
We're unhappy about.
I know. I hate having a body.
We have to accept it. So you want to become
a robot.
Oh, so you do want to become a robot.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, that's... I mean, maybe that's what's happening. And then we don't have to shit. And the planet
I think Dakota's a robot. He's the only... only a robot says... that we're gonna be robots one day. Just like, it's cool, don't worry, we're gonna be robots. Like a little wink at the end, you know? A little cyborg, like, cheek cheek.
A little, like, digital twinkle.
And it glitches, and you're like, ick, 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 ick.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, yeah, we're gonna be robots.
Because you'd be down with no farts. There's a lot of things that you'd be down with.
I'm 50% digital already.
Yeah, guys, Dakota farts.
Who knows if I exist? Do you think it's true that some of the world leaders don't have buttholes? Have you heard that theory, potentially?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know about...
Have you ever been arrested before?
yeah.
If they
sent me in jail once.
If you were going to go to prison...
Twice.
I'm going to paint a scenario for you. You're in the backseat of a cop car, you're getting arrested, and you know you're going to prison for the rest of your life. What did you do?
What do I do?
Yeah, why? What would you do that would? What about you would land you in prison for the rest of your life? Because I could see it. You have the look.
What kind of question is that? I would think something terrible.
Like,
I don't want to mention anything.
Well,
terrible.
Let's see. Do you think like
I don't want to plant any seeds?
Yeah. Do you think like maybe you would get arrested because
I'd get arrested. For fucking a chicken.
No! Is that why that chicken has no head?
Yes.
You're getting yourself into a tricky situation.
Right? I already did. I couldn't help it. You said, how do I get arrested? People get arrested for fucking chickens.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to tell your story about how you got arrested?
Oh, man.
He got arrested once. Big trouble arrested. A drug... Well, I don't
know. Oh, it was a drug thing.
God. Branch off on another... We could do that on another one.
Okay.
That's
a long story.
Deep story.
Off. It's deep. I'll like... Okay.
Wait, did you tell us why you got arrested? I think I cut
you off.
And then we can get to why you got arrested. Compare
yeah.
See
what you guys... Well, I was in the subway...
See which are the lesser two evils I can go with here of my friendship. See whose side I want to take.
I was in the subway performing with another performance artist. I was in my underwear. And the police wanted us to stop. And we didn't stop, and he couldn't stop us. But then they finally detained us, and they looked in my card, and they put through the computer program, and I had a warrant for my arrest for
chickens, because of the chicken farm.
No, not the chicken farm. For the car blinker light.
Oh, come on! And they got you for it.
They got me for that. And it was dismissed. I had to spend the night in the central booking before you go to jail, and it was the whole thing was dismissed. But I had to wait like.
Look at you now.
A night in
jail. Now you're laughing at them.
I'm laughing at them. I got out, but it's the worst thing to because they put you all in the room. Well, all right. I actually, it was a good experience because I was the only white guy.
Did you have to perform for them to kind of establish your dominance?
But everybody else in that room, they called me Jumanji.
You do look like the guy from Jumanji.
Robin Williams.
You look like Robin Williams in the feature film Jumanji.
Yeah, so I had I had that nickname. And
R.I.P.
There's my story. You go now.
Oh shit!
Should we hear the deep?
This is a doozy. So I waited a while to kind of even. I hardly even bring this up. So this is really special.
Are you gonna cry?
I don't know. So, long story short, I was moving, and I lived in California, and I was moving from San Francisco to at Los Angeles, and I was I put my whole life in my car, right? And I just got off a tour, like a 3-year tour. And I had a lot of random gifts and things that were passed down to me from this tour that would to like government authority might look bad, right?
What does that mean?
Like substances, okay. Psychedelics.
I was thinking like sex toys and stuff.
No, they've no sex toys. But so I'm on my way down from San Francisco to Venice, and I'm like moving. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna live in a new place, and all this I'm feeling lawless because I don't think that these plants are bad, and I'm like, oh, I'm driving them to my new house, so that's not even a worry in my mind. I stop in a town to go to a potluck that I got invited to on the way to Venice, and I rolled a spliff, and I lit the spliff and got out of my car, and I was about to walk to the beach before going to this house. And the second I got out of my car, a cop turned the corner, and I was, like, hitting this thing. And he stopped, and he was like, get back in your vehicle. Like, he didn't even see me get out, but he was just, the door was open, and he made me get back in. And I was like, oh, no, my whole life is in my car. Like, quite literally, in my trunk was everything I owned.
I'm getting a panic attack of what happens next already.
Honestly, I was just like, he asked me, can I search your vehicle?
Did you say no?
And I said no. And he said, why not? And I said, well, I don't feel comfortable with you searching my car. It's kind of like going through my closet. I have my whole life in here. I'm moving to Venice right now. I told him. You know, it's very honest. And he was like, oh, then it won't take long, you know. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm fucked. Like, when he said that, I was like, everything that I had on me and everything that was going on all of a sudden clicked. You know, I was floating on a cloud, like, my whole life, I feel like, until this very moment. And the thing was is that on tour I was accumulating money, and I was doing side things on the internet, and I was trying to finance cash into the bank, but I didn't really know how to that well. So I had a lot of cash. So not only did I have like psychedelics on me, but I had cash. So they're going through my car, and I'm just like, oh man, he's not going to be stoked, because I'm not going to be like, yeah, there's this and have fun looking. I was just like quiet, you know. I let him do his job. And I thought about what I was going to do. Called my mom, and I was like, hey, I'm being arrested. And she's like, oh, my God. And I was like, I have money, because they found my money. Like, I watched this guy open up a Pelican case, which is kind of for, like, camera gear and or whatever else people use them for. But it was locked. And he opened this thing up and pulled out all the money that I had worked, like, for so many years to work for. And I just knew that I was never going to see it again. And, like, I even asked him politely. I was like, can you please just put that away? Like, he's trying to count it and stuff. I was like, you don't need to do that. Like, put it in evidence and, like, let's get the show on the road. And I told my mom, and I was like, let's just say it was over 30 grand. So I called my mom, and I was like, it's this much. And she was like,
R.I.P.
Oh, my God, I've never had that much money before myself. My whole life, I've never had that much. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, all my friends who are really close with their family helps them finance, but I come from a family that's kind of lower income. So when I didn't just know to be like, mom, help me finance this, she probably would help me out, like, over the span of the time I was earning it. But I was just putting it in a safe all the time and into the bank to, like, pay bills and pay rent, but I just had accumulated more that I wanted to finance in. Long story short, they found mushrooms, LSD, weed, and
just
a
assumed
lot
you were selling
of
it.
Money.
Yeah.
But with no ties to me ever, ever, ever selling drugs.
Well, that's
but
enough evidence.
But they looked
right
at
there.
It and they were like, this is the biggest drug dealer I've seen all week.
Right.
And I was like, oh, Lord, I'm going to have to. I literally, when I was sitting on the curb, They sat me in a puddle, and it was cold, and I was just like, things are about to change. My life is changing right now, like, so rapidly, so fast. And, excuse me, sort of lighten it up. They put me in the cop car. I talked to my mom. I'm like, oh, I'll contact you. I love you so much. Don't worry about me. No, like, we're strong. I got this. Just like you. And we get in the cop car. We get in the cop car, and then we go to a gas station. And she pulls up next to this cop. And the only conversation that happened was, why don't you come get donuts with us anymore? And, like, it was such a, like...
The cop said that
to the other cop. They stopped on my way to get taken to jail.
All right, just
to
how
talk
nice
about
one.
Donuts.
Right,
I'm not kidding at all. Like,
because it's just a day. It's just another day for them. 5 minute
talk about donuts while I'm like, my arms behind my back, uncomfortable, thinking about how unfortunate
how
it was
life
that
is over.
I was like, it was heartbreaking for me because I'm already like super empath, you know, and I'm really sensitive. And I knew that I was about to get thrown into this fucking whirlwind of government loopholes and figuring out and learning. And it's actually crazy. Honestly, I had only been back from Envision. It was 2016. I came back from Costa Rica for like 5 days. And then this happened. And I didn't even process anything that I'd experienced in Costa Rica fully and like follow up with all these connections. Because they also, once I got arrested... I was like, take my computer, take my phone, take my hard drives, like, look at my emails, I'll give you my password to Instagram, Facebook, everything. I swear, I don't sell drugs.
Right.
I was like, I explained my story in depth to them. I was like, I've worked events, I've been contracted on
my own. Yeah, they don't care, they hear everything.
But the thing is that over time, if you keep fighting, you can win.
Did you win?
Depends on who you are. I want to say, sadly, as fucked up as it sounds, is that like I think white privilege did honestly play a little bit of a role.
Oh, for sure.
Because I know people that have done the same stuff.
Or less.
So essentially, I go to jail, and they're like, this looks really bad for you, man. And they're like, you might as well just stay in jail and get your sentence here, and then you're just going to stay in jail. And then, so in jail, I go in. And you're supposed to get a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to get blankets and a pillow and a set of clothes.
Nothing.
And slippers. I go in there, and I'm in there for an hour, and I realize that it's all gang. It's like 80% Norteño gang, and then the rest is like a white trash gang called the Peckerwoods.
Oh, shit.
And so I walk in, and I make... The first people that come up to me are the Latin American gang. And me, looking like a gringo, all of a sudden the first people I'm talking to are the Latin Americans. And I'm thinking, like, the movies and the stories, like, oh, shit.
I'm going to have to join the Mexicans.
This Latin American gentleman talking to me, and it's all these white guys staring bullets at me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a second, what is going on? Uh-oh. And they, like, the Latin American friends or the people in there, they, like, forced the guards to get me a blanket.
Oh, that's cool.
They're like, why didn't you get him this stuff? You know, he deserves it. Like,
right.
What the hell? And then they didn't give me a phone card, like, number. And the guy let me use his. He's like, you're not allowed to do this. But, like, call your mom. And he's like, if they say anything, tell him, like, fuck you. And I was like, oh, my God. Like,
that's
I'm
cool.
already feeling, like, infinitely more uncomfortable.
Right.
Because I'm being
at
helped,
least they made you
but
feel
I'm
at
also
home.
Feeling like it's going to come back. I'm going to regret, like, how communicative I was. And
right.
So I'm in there for like a day or two, and all of a sudden I'm like, man, this might be my thing.
You
like,
started to like it?
I might just ride it out. No, I didn't like it, but I was like, maybe this is like an experience that I'm supposed to have.
Yeah.
And this guy, I'm just going to say this white guy, because like, I mean, honestly, it was very split and weird, but he was like, I'm going to go outside for a walk. And I was like, okay. And he just stood there and kept staring at me in my eyes. And I was like, oh, you want me to go with you? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And then I, like, put my slippers on, and I walk outside. And my nickname is, like, Moonhawk. And we walk outside, and the first thing that I see, my first time being outside after being in jail, this hawk just swoops right down over my head, like, and honestly, that was the first moment where I was, like, in my heart, fully present with who I normally feel like I am. And I knew everything was going to be okay. And right before that moment, I was like,
"You're still gonna die.
I'm just gonna fucking stay here." And then when I saw that thing, I was like, "I gotta get the fuck out of here. I need to be free, at least enough to make decisions for myself." And so this guy was like, "I know a bail bonds woman. I went to high school with her. He's an inmate." And he was like, "I think she'll love you." And that's literally the first time I heard the word love in that jail. And when he said that, I was just like, "I'm calling her right away." I called her. She called my friend. She called my mom. I was out there in 4 hours.
Nice.
Yeah.
4 hours?
4 hours. They got me out
Uno,
at midnight.
Dos, tres, cuatro.
They got me out at midnight.
And you almost believed all the crap that all these pieces of shit authority that were telling you what... They were saying you were gone.
Mm-hmm. And they tried to...
Made you feel so bad.
So the thing about it is that... I love what you do because you express so much freedom. I see like a free, flowing, not caged in.
Yeah, me too. Like, kind of like, you know, you remind me of a little bit? Like the guy from Jumanji, a little bit.
Oh, the guy from Jumanji.
You ever heard that before?
Yeah, yeah.
What would you consider, what do you do? What would you, like, do you have a, did you give yourself a self-proclaimed prophet?
Oh, yeah, self-proclaimed sacred clown.
Nice. Sacred clown. I mean, that's an important role in many mythologies, is the role of the jester or the role of the jokester.
Right.
And I feel like you embody that. That's what you remind me of.
Right.
Like, who's some tricksters? A bit like, tricksters. You know who you remind me of? Rumpelstiltskin a little bit. You kind of speak in riddles and you pop up and then you're gone. I didn't see you for all day.
Oh, yeah, but he wasn't so nice.
Yeah, I think he kidnapped children, but
yeah.
We'll skip that
part. I forgot about that. What was the story behind Rumpelstiltskin?
I don't know. I think he played a little instrument and he kidnapped all the kids.
Yeah, yeah, it was terrible.
Did he really?
But he was small. He was like this big or something.
Yeah, I don't know. And he spoke in riddles. Yeah, that's who you remind me of.
Oh, man.
Every time I hear Rumpelstiltskin, I think
it's good.
Big Daddy?
Jack and the Beanstalk.
I think of Big Daddy. Like, you guys want some rum? Rum? Rumpelstiltskin? Remember that part?
No. I don't remember.
So, Sacred Clown. And how I'm trying to like put myself in a position to where like I'm trying to visualize how you got to do what you do. Mm-hmm. Like there, I can't think of a single person that just goes out in the street and just screams at people for a hobby.
I was inspired by Tom Green, David Letterman, and
David
Jackass.
Letterman.
You know, they just did stuff in the street.
What did David Letterman do?
Well, he did stuff in the street.
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah, with strangers. It was just some, you know, these projects, these social experiments.
Yeah.
The originals. And then, I just wanted to do that. But I said, I was stoned. And I was like, you know what? I will do that. But I'll do it the next level. I won't have a video camera taping me.
God. That's...
So I was like blowing my mind. Right. Like, why, you know, but that was... People, what see is in my mind, I was blowing my mind, but everybody else is, look at that idiot. What the hell is he doing?
It's
what
so
is he doing,
inspiring
that idiot?
And so theatrical to me and so, like, poetic in a way. Do you feel that or do you just feel like...
Yeah.
Just,
yeah, I mean, it is
like,
poetic.
Do you feel like you're making an art?
Well, the time I used to smoke weed.
Yeah. Well, how long
well
have
I
been?
Smoked so much, I was so stoned.
Yeah, you got cysts in your lungs from smoking so much weed.
Yeah, I did some permanent damage. But when I was doing it, I had a vision. You know how you have visions when you're stoned?
What kind of vision?
Well, anyway, it was just a love vision.
Okay.
And I said, I'm going to sacrifice myself for love by doing my own wacky version of it. And I said... And that planted a seed. But I've already done that stuff earlier in my life.
Right.
But I was like, let's just focus it
so we could
affect the entire planet, create a domino effect, pop the bubble of consciousness, and everybody just shifts to love. But as I've done that...
You've done that for some people.
Right. But I've also learned that it's actually... It's not just... performance helps. Our art helps. Your art... helps, but it's actually it's deeper than you realize. Like, it's the system that we live in. It's the ingrained habit that money doesn't grow on trees. You know, it's not just money. It's how ingrained habit of what's mine is mine and yours is yours. We don't live conscious in a way that we are all one. Maybe that's why when we're machines, we'll live as if we're all one, like the Borg, and maybe that'll be all right. Maybe love will still be there. I don't know.
Well, is the destination love?
The destination is love.
Yeah.
It is. It is, because that's the destination, and we might never get there, but we always get closer.
A part of me feels like love just makes us feel good, so we just kind of chase it, and it's just kind of another desire.
Yeah, I think it's like how it makes you feel and why it makes you feel that way is like the most important part
of
it.
Well, I guess consciousness is the destination. Consciousness, and then...
Okay, so I read a quote once that said something. Let me see if I can remember it. It said, consciousness is the basis of reality, and consciousness exists to perceive, and the perception it desires is beauty, and its spontaneous reaction to beauty is love. And I guess that's what creates the universe. Or desire. I don't know.
It's the loop of that over and over.
I'm not sure, but consciousness does seem to, or at least human consciousness seems to thrive in that state. It seems to be a space of creation, which is like... Okay, so I think of the universe. When I think of the universe, I think of creation, a flow of energetic creation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think love is the alignment with that flow. Because, like, I feel like when you're on stage or when you're performing, you lose yourself into a flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's almost the same as being in love, that feeling. Like, yeah. It's just like an immersion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you feel that ever?
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe that's what love is. Love is getting into the alignment of creation. Because when you are in love, I mean, you make life when you're in love. You create humans, mm-hmm. and you create passion. And so maybe love is not temporary, but it is who we are, maybe. Or maybe it's just some temporary desire. I don't know.
It's who we are.
That seems to be what people say.
That's what people say, but I mean, we started on the wrong foot. Like,
will you click that?
What's wrong?
It's okay.
No,
you got to record it again.
Oh shit! Oh, it got overheated.
No, it just cuts off every 30 minutes.
Oh,
that's okay.
Podcasting.
So we started off on the wrong foot in terms of. It's unconscious, like how we are primitive. It's very unconscious and primitive. And then
what is?
Just
us?
Well, just the history of this planet is like war and, you know, what do you call it? The Roman, the empires. Mm-hmm. This empire takes over that empire, that boom, 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 boom. Finally, now it's America, you know, but it's unconscious. It's like, who's the bigger power struggle? And now we're at the point where
we
don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, do you have any visions for the future?
First of all, you don't know what's going to happen. So we're learning more and more that what we create together on a mass... What?
Does it matter? Does it, yeah.
Well, that I guess that's to the individual, but to me it matters. Like, are we gonna realize our potential power for the mass collective to inspire a positive creation instead of a mass collective negative hell? I mean, heaven and earth... heaven and hell is on earth.
Yeah.
So what are we going to create? How are we, you know, maybe the shit will hit the fan, but maybe we'll still have the enlightenment. And if we still have the enlightenment, we are infinite beings. This planet just getting fucked up is not the end.
Mm-hmm.
There's something more than just this planet, just, you know, there's something more than just you, your family, the small world of the planet. I mean,
you were a part of something.
We're part of something.
I'm mysterious. I'm something. Yeah. Mysterious something.
Right. And it's bigger than you, but it, at the same time, you are bigger than you. I mean, mm-hmm. you're you, but you're also all of this, and you, we get so hung up on maybe our egos or our little worlds that it's when we start to think that we're small and we have fear and there's no point in what we're doing, that it's, there's no wrong or right, but that's not the way. I mean, it's better to feel like, oh, well, there's no better or worse, but you vibrate more when you feel connected, and
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
you're going in for something deeper. Like this talk, there's something deeper
right.
about.
Would you say
all
find
these
a lot of community
what?
within your realm of performance and what you do? Have you found a lot of community around you and support? Like others that do similar work.
Yes, I mean,
is there? I don't know a single person that does what you do.
A lot of people do what you. I mean, you do what I do.
Yeah, Prince, maybe. Prince, but the thing is that you're doing it with you're just doing it. Like I'm doing all of. I'm recording myself. I am seeking recognition and I'm
validation.
You are just doing it because you. I want to awake other people is what it feels like. Whereas me, I have my own selfish agenda and stuff
no,
like that.
No, but I do. I have my selfish
agenda. Do you? What's your
I'm
agenda?
Not, I just thought you shouldn't feel bad. Like, I want... I still want people to respect me, you know?
Yeah.
I want some kind of
respect. Do you find that by playing the sacred clown that people maybe put you, like, in a weird... Like, they maybe look down at you or...
Yeah.
You find that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what does that make you feel bad?
Well, they don't take me seriously.
Yeah, they don't take you serious.
Yeah, it does make me feel bad, and I get in
my... Do you feel like you can't, like, get deep with some people because they just kind of look at, like, they think of you as, like, you're a character?
Yeah, they're intimidated, so they don't understand it. But it's not... I know it's not their fault, so...
Would you say that you are... Do you, tune into a character, or do you just sort of tune into yourself and it just comes out as that?
Yeah, tune into myself, it comes out.
And that comes out. So
I mean,
it's not like some kind of orchestrated image or something. This is just, you just speak and that's what comes out.
I mean, I've tried to orchestrate things and it's very difficult to organize. And I'm just like, fuck it. I've got a, time is short. I can't spend hours and hours of rehearsal. I'm just going to go out and do this for the next few hours. And
is it a meditation for you to do that?
It's like, I guess it's, a lot of times it could be a meditation, but sometimes it's close to a video game, and it's like, I'm looking at that person. All right, what can I do with that person? What is that person going to bring to the table? What am I going to bring to the table? I mean... You're this is the podcast. You're doing it right now with me and him, and you know I'm doing the same thing. It is the same thing. You know?
Yeah, it's a different expression.
Different expression, but there's yeah.
I don't know. There's this something that's always inspired me so much about what you do. Well, how does that make you feel? Does that make you feel weird? Are you bad at taking compliments? I suck at taking compliments.
No, I mean, I'm honored.
Yeah.
I'm grateful.
It's because
like,
when people tell me this kind of stuff, it feels like they're not talking to me.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense? Like, I feel like if someone says, like, or maybe you feel that too, like, if they're like, oh, I just feel like, I feel like people have such preconceived notions that they're not really talking to me.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel that like that maybe, either of you guys?
I don't feel that because I always give people the benefit of a doubt. Like, always, you know? And I feel like if they think they know me, they're probably going to give me the opportunity to get to know me. You know?
Right.
So,
yeah,
like,
that's,
and vice
that's a good
versa.
Way to look at
so
it.
So, I try to give people the benefit of a doubt. If they think they know me, I'll be like, well, hopefully you really know me after this.
Yeah. I don't know.
If it was, like, misconstrued or I don't know.
What's your experience with drugs?
I've done them. I had my experience.
What's the craziest drug you've taken?
The craziest drug? I took ayahuasca.
In Peru? Is that why you went to Peru?
No, I took it in Colorado.
Oh, that's interesting. How was that?
It was nice. I saw rainbows, and the vision that I chose to receive was that you chose this.
Yeah.
This life that we're living now. Mm-hmm. We chose it, and you wonder. I didn't choose it. I didn't choose to be born. I didn't choose this body. I didn't, you know, but we actually did. We did. And I don't know how that is. And the other vision was that also is like the vision of the matrix, you know, being pulled out of shit and stuff. It's like you're here to be, pulled out of another shit. Like you were pulled out of your mom's stomach vagina shit with all that fluids and stuff.
It's gross.
But now you're this, I mean, you can experience in your life another pull out of the shit in this
You can.
State of consciousness. And I mean, that's what we're all trying to bring us together. Yeah. So, you know, we can't let the shit, the dark poison. It's too easy. The collective pushes the darkness, and I'm doing it too. And I keep making mistakes. And the ayahuasca wants you to rise with a rainbow or something, you know? It's just like they want you to rip off your skin so you have a new skin, you know?
You ever thought about physically
like a
trying?
Phoenix rising from the ashes, kind of, you know,
starting anew. I mean,
when everything seems to be dead and to ashes, that's when the phoenix rises and shoots the rainbows out of its tails, and
right?
It's flying off.
Well, we're all from America, right? So you ever look at America and you just drive on the highway, and it's just one wasteland, highway town after another highway town, like. That's not the reality. That's not the true reality, you know? But that's what the wasteland is an illusion just as much as it is a reality.
And do you think that is perception? Or how did we find ourselves? Why are we stuck in this illusion of the wasteland, you think? Why don't we see the beauty?
I don't think everybody is.
Yeah, not everybody, but I think most people. How come you think... Do you think it's just because we're so selfish? We want so many desires and stuff like that?
It has a lot to do with stuff.
Well, I guess capitalism is probably...
Capitalism is an economy based on stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... None of us is really happy with all this stuff. I'm not happy.
Well,
I brought too much stuff to Costa Rica with me. Mm. I brought too much stuff. I'm kind of controlled by it.
Yeah.
I can't really camp where I want to camp because I got stuff at somebody's place. Anyway.
Yeah, there's stuff in all kinds of places.
Just being human is so weird. I don't understand. Like, I just don't get it.
Are we supposed to? Like,
I don't know. Alan Watts once said, asking why is like asking where the universe is.
Right.
It's only relevant to where you're at.
I think a lot of these questions
are right, it's open-ended. Only relevant.
Yeah, exactly. They're very open-ended because your consciousness just keeps going.
So where am I at?
The day forever. Infinite.
That's it. It's just...
The love. Or
I know why I'm here, like to rip off my shit. So I could come out another rainbow. I gotta rip my asshole wide open.
I'm your friend. I'll help.
All right. You said you would help, right? So
I'll help. I'm not afraid of asses by any means. Well, I don't like farts.
Fart.
Yeah, I don't like farts. I can wear a little gas mask or something.
When's the last time somebody farted around you?
Well, I had a girlfriend once that held me down and farted on me, and that's when it all started.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yep, she thought it was funny, and I thought it was absolutely horrible.
Was it really smelly?
No, but I felt it. You know, like sometimes where it shoots out, and like if, like say it was like someone's butt was this far away, you would just feel like a. I felt it hit me in the forehead.
In the forehead.
Was there ass dust in there too?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind a little ass dust sometimes, but when I can feel the pressure of it on my forehead, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So tell me more about like your inspirations that like. Because I find my inspirations very interesting, and it makes sense in my life when I look back at the people that have inspired me, how it's led me to where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Take me back. I want to know some, like who inspired you to, like, to even act or to perform or, like, to do anything. I mean, like, who you said,
Jack Smith, Andy Kaufman, Alejandro.
Yeah, this guy. Tell me about that guy again.
Favorite. Alejandro Jodorowsky.
Okay.
He made two films, Holy Mountain, El Topo. One of them was produced by John Lennon. But
is it really weird movies?
Very weird.
I think I've seen. Is it a cult based?
Cult based.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah, inspired by love.
It was so weird.
You couldn't get into it. Maybe I was like
13, 14 years old.
Watch it again. You. And right now, I mean, most of his life, he didn't make movies.
Yeah, he's a European guy.
Well, he lived in Chile. He was born in Chile. And then he moved to Paris. And he also did films in Mexico, too. He also became a self-proclaimed shaman. And he came up with this therapy called psychomagic, which was like anything that would pop you out of your pattern that was holding you back.
Yeah.
Could be like a scream or splashing water in somebody's face or doing, I mean, the best way to do psychomagic is like face your fear. What are you scared of? And then do it. Like a good fear is like, you know, maybe somebody's playing music and you have this urge to dance on stage and look like an idiot, even though maybe security will take you down and make you, but you want to do it and see what happens, you know? There's always, like, face it, you know?
That's you just do that? That's what you feel in that little method? That's your method?
For enlightenment, yes, face your fear. My whole thing was like I had to face my fear, so I did it on the street, you know, and then I got less fearful. So now I guess I gotta face my new fears.
What's your new fears?
Looking like a jackass, and I already do look like one. I don't know why that is though. It doesn't make any sense.
Why would that matter much?
Because I wished the world was a little bit kinder.
Yeah, respect and.
You know, the festival is great. The good thing about the festival is you meet a lot of like-minded people.
Yeah.
But the bad thing is it brings it could be a shit show at the same time. Or.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Sometimes you got to go through those shit shows to be pulled out.
Exactly.
So you have a girlfriend or a wife or anything like that?
No, not right now.
No? How are your relationships like?
Like short, like 2 or 3 months. I haven't been able to maintain a longer relationship because as soon as I'm starting to feel like I have to be responsible, and you do in a relationship, I'll say I can't be emotionally there for you.
Oh.
We're going to have to break it off.
So it's your fault.
It's nobody's fault.
Well, you're not emotionally there. You can't be emotionally available.
Well,
I feel like you have a huge.
I still have to go through my own healing. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm still. As much as I love myself, sometimes I still hate myself.
Yeah.
So I have that, and I've learned not to. I mean, look, it's great to have cuddling.
Love it.
Sex.
Love it.
Sleeping with the girl at night and stuff. But then the real stuff, which is the talking and the listening, and you can't always be there because you are already, you know, you might have a vision or a dream, and the relationship is taking you somewhere else that you don't right. want to be right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I've been in that situation.
And that's sad, too, because then you're always thinking, what if?
Do you feel so a responsibility to, like, pursue your passion that you see that it's producing results? Or, I mean, I guess, would you do it even if it wasn't? Would you still be in the same position, you think? Or are you surprised?
Like saying, well, producing results, like...
Like, I mean, that's just that you're inspiring like, people. Like,
yeah.
And that, like, people well, are actually seeing something in what you're doing. Like, did you ever... How does that make you feel? Did you ever, like, expect for people to listen to you? Or be inspired by you? Obviously, that
I,
was your intention.
I saw a vision of it.
Yeah.
I was consistent. I knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it was. But it became very obvious that... It was probably going to, because I'm an entertainer, it was probably going to be a viral video eventually. But I was just doing stuff on the street as the sacred clown. I was looking through all that stuff, the trickster, the sacred clown, dadaism, the neo-futurist, the hoppy clown, and I said, I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy. But I kind of realized I wasn't really that mythology. In a way, we're all the trickster. Nobody is. The cool thing about the trickster, by the way, is nobody. Everybody is a trickster. Nobody is good and nobody is evil, right? And we're always kind of like tricksters. Like I'm trying to like when somebody's trying to figure you out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this person that person or that person?
Right.
And then they find out that person's neither that
yeah,
person.
Yeah.
They don't realize.
Or they're both.
Yeah. So they don't realize like everybody's a trickster. You know,
yeah.
Nobody can be that person or that person.
Yeah.
Right.
And another thing is you're always recreating yourself too. So. But the trickster, another reason I related to him is because he was a portal gate opener, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole thing with the fart and the portal and opening, like your butthole is like this portal. And I related to the idea of, you know, opening the spiritual world with the 3D world. And then... ripping a tear in that big butthole. And like,
I could see you getting arrested for that.
Yeah, getting arrested.
Yeah.
And that was it, you know, and I could do that. And I guess I could still do that. But the issue I have with me is I've allowed something in my brain... I've allowed something to get old. I need a rejuvenation. And acid hasn't worked for me, or ayahuasca. So,
What do you find exciting?
I just got to do it. Like, tomorrow, I'm going to do it.
Like, do you find traveling exciting, or what excites you?
Costa Rica is working
right
now. I've never been here, and a lot of people are talking about eco-villages and
mm-hmm.
trying to start one, and I hear about a few people doing it.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of permaculture farms and a lot of retreat centers and a lot of yoga centers. And
I'd like to be a part of the eco-village that decides to, or the intentional community that decides to rip an asshole. Rip the asshole, the portal.
Mm-hmm.
Of the, like they relate to the sacred clown trickster, rip it, and just complete chaos of spirituality. But not spirituality where you could put in another goddamn godforsaken book. We create our own spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
We are here to be the creators of that. Not, you know.
Yeah.
But then again, we are all one. Like,
We're all constantly creating our reality individually and collectively.
Yeah, yeah. It seems that paradoxes are possible to exist simultaneously.
Yes.
It's because...
Divine dichotomy or something.
Because it seems like I feel like an individual, but I also see my oneness with everything. But with the universe is producing individuals, and as far as I can work out, it's infinitely doing that. So if it's infinitely, eternally producing a being to feel separate, then it's both one and separate. I feel like
it's both one.
I don't know if that's. I guess it's possible because
it's happening.
Yeah. It's happening.
But even though we are one. At the same time, we're losing ourselves in separateness to connect and to feel one again.
Yeah.
So we have to. It's almost like we're pretending to be the individual only to chase back the oneness.
Yes.
There's a dance or a trick or a game or a theater or a drama. We're losing ourselves in a drama. And most people get lost in it, whereas what inspires me about you and both of you guys is that you play with it. You're puppeteers of it, rather than being the puppets. Like, you see the strings, and you move them. Both of you guys, I mean, like, we all kind of do, I guess, in a way, but... And maybe everyone does in their own ways, but...
More or less.
Yeah.
But we're a little...
More, we got a little pep in our step.
We got a little pep in our... Yes.
So what's it like being from New York?
I'm from New Jersey. I mean,
okay, so is it New offensive when people say that?
I lived there for like 2005.
Where are you at in New Jersey? What's your address?
Bergenfield, New Jersey.
Okay, cool. And you grew... Me and you both grew up in Detroit.
Yeah.
You grew up in Detroit?
Not yet.
No?
Yeah. I have some friends there.
Be yeah, nice who are your friends? Check. Maybe I know them.
Maybe you do. Jeff or Tom?
I have a stepdad named Jeff. Is it my stepdad? He drove off a cliff once. No. R.I.P. He didn't die, but he drove off a cliff. It was the last time I ever saw him. He was cheating on my mom, and on the way home, he drove off the cliff.
Whoa.
He's okay though. He's still alive and doing alright.
Oh, farts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
Do you think they're dead people?
Maybe they're interdimensional beings.
Yeah, I think they're. I think that. But do you think that that's what we evolve into, or do you think that they're just kind of on a different platform, but still?
They're just on another platform, another dimension.
And you think sometimes the barrier kind of blends a little bit, and we just kind of, I don't know, merge worlds temporarily, and that's what these experiences are.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Some people are more clairvoyant than others.
You ever met someone like that?
No.
Have you ever seen
I've heard people talk about it like they have. So I don't know what goes on in their head. So I'm just open to that. Maybe that's what they see.
Have you ever thought you could read someone's mind?
Well, I've never... There's always that moment when you have the... coincidences, you talk about someone and they call you on the phone or something.
Yeah. You ever try to move something with your mind? I could see you trying to do that.
I've never been able to move something.
Have you tried though? No, I haven't been able to do it, but I remember when I was younger, I used to try to bend a spoon. I couldn't do it though.
I'm trying. It's not working.
If we weren't here, you could probably do it.
No, I won't. You might be moving it like a little bit.
Yeah, it could be moving. We don't know.
A lot of people that say that they're seeing things. I think the most clairvoyant people that are credible.
You were just talking about having a friend.
They hear things. They're channeling things. They like hear literal voices. Like, have you ever, like, once in a blue moon ever been like, whoa, did somebody just say something? And it's just not explainable. Maybe you didn't even decipher the words. It was just like, whoa, where'd that come from? That's what I have been explained it's kind of like. It's like when you actually hear a voice and you're like, whoa, did somebody just say, are you awake? Or, you know, something weird like that. And
I don't think I've ever...
They've never, to me, like people who are super clairvoyant... I lived with somebody who wrote books on telepathy and clairvoyant lifestyle and how she was unwillingly taught telepathy through somebody she met through the internet who was like another clairvoyant like artist in like France. And so she said one day, all of a sudden she could just see auras and like over... It was like... overstimulating for her in a day.
Instantly. Do you believe it?
And she would hear voices and she would say things and she would like do this thing where she would like every day and like it would happen at any time. She could be like at a cash register or
do you
like
think it would, do you think it's real?
There's certain aspects of this that like makes me think that people who claim to be very clairvoyant are like expert communicators. And they're love. They have a lot of love, even though if maybe they're a trickster. They're like, there's a lot of love, and they're able to make you feel like they're psychic or something. But I feel like what she wasn't trying to tell me what my life was, or trying to say that she was psychic. She was talking about just feeling and hearing sounds.
Like she could pick up subtle communications.
But she said,
and
you know,
sad
I know who
something.
It is. They say this. They tell me what not to do.
Yeah.
Not really necessarily what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, it helps you make...
She also told you
judgment.
That you would never go to Costa Rica.
So, yeah, she told me I would never go to Costa Rica.
That'd be my first
my
red flag.
Time here. So, like, over time...
You're actually just sitting in a room right now?
I kind of wondered if it was, like, something that she's experiencing in life that, you know, this is her process. And she would always ask about psychedelics and stuff. I don't know if it's just because... I don't know. She lived in San Francisco, so... But she would always ask, can you give me it? Can you give me it? And I was like, yeah, probably. And then, but I never really wanted to. For some reason, I was just extra careful. I didn't want to, like, throw her off over the edge. And then one day she went out on her own and got some. And then she kind of just lost it.
She went over the edge.
Yeah. I walked into the room and she had a gigantic
the pirates
mirror
in her head
on
kicked
the
her
floor.
On the plank.
Like a big mirror on the floor. And she had some stuff written on it and candles all over it. It was very witchy, right? Which I think it's kind of cool, right? But at the same time, it was very serious and very, like, intentional with some interesting energy. And I saw smoke coming out of the door before I walked into our place. And I was like, holy shit. And I walked in and she was sitting there, like, burning, like, copious amounts of copal and stuff to where, like, I couldn't even hardly see. And she was just like, oh, shit, this is a bad time. And I was like... I lived there, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Your battery's about to die also. Can we change the battery?
Is it? Yeah, okay.
Well, I forgot where we were even at.
I know where I'm at, but I don't know where that, you know, if it might have got cut
Well,
out,
this is still going. I can
oh, that's
I can
perfect.
Throw something
okay,
up.
So, long story short, it, like, reached a point where she was like, you're a part of my covenant. And I was like, wait, what's happening right now?
Holy
and,
shit.
Yeah, and then she... And I was like, no. And then she told me to stop talking to a few people for some weird reason. And she was like, literally, please send them a text and say this is the last time I'm ever going to talk to you. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I really don't like being told what to do. Like, it just feels wrong. And, like... And she was like, you're making this really hard for me. And I was like, what does that even mean? And she was like... You know, if you're not going to be a part of the covenant, then we can't live together.
Jeez.
And I literally turned down in them. She said, if you can't be a part of my covenant and you can't accept the fact that Illuminati or anybody who's a part of this walks into our home at any time, then you can't live here. And
that was it.
And I turned around, walked to my room, and started packing.
You fucked up. That was your chance.
And I had a job. I had an amazing job. And she wrote them like a 50-paragraph email. And it was, like, crazy. They read, like, one paragraph of it, and they were like, obviously she's nuts, but I figured I'd show you. And
jeez.
I was like, whoa, no, this is, like, crazy. Like, this is... I told them the whole story, and they were like, holy shit. And they just didn't... You know, they were like, don't... He shouldn't work for you. you guys shouldn't have him working for you, and blah blah blah. And I was like, wow, what is going on?
Because you didn't want to join her cult.
And they were like coven. Hiring me into management, and they were like, fuck this lady, are you serious? She's obviously doesn't know you as well as we do. And I was like, thank God. But like, yeah, it was really interesting circumstances. And she played like best friend, like almost second mom. You know, it was unadulterated 100% too. Uh-huh. But I felt like love, so much love and appreciation up until she like kind of like, and I was very accepting of it. People would ask me questions and I'd be like, she's the most interesting person you've ever met in San Francisco, huh? And they'd always say yes.
That's kind of cool.
And then
yeah, I like her just by hearing your stories.
Yeah. And like we cut off.
I would have joined.
She wrote a book based on my life.
It's a cool title. Give us a title.
It's based on your life.
Yeah, and she named it The Man Who Followed Jack Kerouac Part 2. And she basically wrote it all in beatnik style, but it was everything that she knew about.
And there was no part one.
Where I've gone and what I've told her about what I feel about love and why I do what I do.
I think that's so cool.
And she took a picture that I took and put on the cover and sold the book.
Where's the book?
It's online somewhere.
I might buy it.
I've had copies, yeah.
I might buy it.
Is it a good book?
It's good. Like it's beatnik. I mean, it's kind of hard not to love if you ever lived there.
Oh, so
like
did you guys make up after? Or
no. I think she may have stopped printing it, even.
Eventually. She made the book before the trip?
Yes, before the... Yeah.
Oh, so the trip took her somewhere
dark.
And then she said that the voice, the person, said, like, it has to be this way. Like, you got to tell him to go, even if you still love Danny. Like, you got to be like, this is our house.
Oh, God.
Like, in her head, like, somebody saying, like, this is... In our control, not his.
Scary.
And she's listening to this, like... But she had always separated it from herself. She always said, like, it's a voice, it's someone else, I can't tell them what to say. She would laugh, like, mysteriously, a lot.
I would love to hang out with her. It sounds
so
cool.
Fuck you! Like, really loud. And then she'd be like, oh, sorry. And I'd just be like, what?
God, that's so interesting.
And she doesn't have Tourette's or anything like this.
What kind of witchcraft have you gotten up into?
I've never experienced... If I've experienced that, I'd walk away.
Yeah, I walked away.
He walked away. I mean, I'm very careful, like...
You don't get involved with witches.
I just don't get involved with people that... I don't mind witches. I don't mind warlocks. But when you have somebody who's trying to control somebody else, mm-hmm. I gotta just push all that magic out of the window.
Yeah.
And it's an ego thing or something. Like, mm-hmm. the ego or something, they're construing it as witches or whatever,
yeah.
or demons, but they really just want control of
right.
their whole environmental situation. It's not learning to be among people, but to take over and...
You ever thought you were possessed, maybe?
When I was young, but I got rid of those demons.
Did you go through an exorcist?
No, I had my imaginary Satan character.
Oh, cool.
I was like, oh, this Satan is trying to attack me. I had the whole binary thing, the polarity thing, like Satan character and the angel character. And I was like, but I didn't realize that's like the beginning of your neurosis, you know? Like, it doesn't help to have...
Fuck.
That those two
right.
characters,
because no,
they're not real. They help you evaluate a measurement, but there's
yeah,
a better way to
analyze,
measure things,
yeah.
like to just
yeah. I never got possessed at all, but I used to try to get abducted by aliens.
Aliens?
Yeah.
You try?
Yeah, I used to.
You
like,
say aliens
invited.
Or aliens?
Aliens.
Oh, okay.
Extraterrestrial beings from a different planet, potentially. Yeah, I always wanted to do that. And when I smoked DMT, I actually think I got abducted by aliens, by serpent aliens.
Mm.
They ripped my stomach open and took me to a different planet, basically.
Wow.
So you had something really bad when
yeah.
DMT.
Well, I didn't necessarily... process it as being bad, but saying it out loud sounds bad, yeah.
But that must have been a scary...
DMT
only lasts like 11 minutes or something.
It probably lasted less than that for me.
Uh-huh.
And it was so intense that I never have done it again.
Uh-huh.
I don't even think I can do
uh-huh.
it again.
Yeah.
I did DMT.
Yeah, what was that experience like?
Well, I was out in someone's backyard, and I was just... He said, look at the bush. Don't look at his face. And I looked at his face. The guy, he was like my guide who gave it to me. He said, look at the bush. Don't look at my face. But his face started, you know, geometric. And then I just looked at the bush, and you get experience these high, intense energies. So I knew not to, like, I was meditating. I was just letting it, because I didn't want my creativity, the negative creativity.
Yeah.
You know, when you just deal with in normal life.
Yeah.
To get the best of me. So I said, just look at the bush and smile. Look at the bush and smile. And the bush was smiling back at me. So, and it was just simple. It was like the whole burning, Moses talking to a burning bush.
Yeah.
Kind of thing going on.
I went to the Moses Memorial, where Moses is supposed to be dead, where his dead body's at.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Jordan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I don't think he's actually there, but it had an interesting energy. I mean, just because so many
people
go there and for that. Do this, and it's just got an energy.
Like the wall, too, right?
There's wall in Jerusalem.
There's like an energy there, too.
There is definitely a wall. Are you Jewish? You look a little Jewish.
Yeah, I'm a little Jew. I'm a Jew.
You're a little Jew.
I'm another Jew. God damn. Shalom.
Shalom.
Yeah.
What was your experience in Israel? Did you go there on like birthright or something?
No, I went there with Nifty or something. It was part of summer camp.
That's cool.
Program.
Did you do all the Jesus sites? Well, I guess Jews don't really like Jesus, do they?
Yeah, Jews are not... Well, there is a group called Jews for Jesus.
Oh, those good but, for those guys.
I guess Jews should just be more open. I mean, Reform Judaism starts to become more open to all kinds of spirituality, which is a good thing. Because then you're not just a goddamn Jew. I don't like the... You know, the Jews are the saying, the Jews are the chosen ones, because that's not true. Everybody, you're
how,
only
how ironic would it be if it was true?
How ironic, exactly. The truth is, you're only chosen when you choose yourself. When you choose, because
well, we're all here, so obviously we're all chosen,
right?
On some level,
right? And so right? Somebody also put a tattoo on themselves that there is. No God. There is only God.
Ooh.
So
that's cool.
Instead of waiting God to choose you, you choose you. Because you're God.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're not even God. You're,
so you
it's
can
just
choose
all
any,
this is just one.
You can choose at any time. Because I guess none of it matters. Whether it's right or wrong, or whether you choose or you don't choose, because you're always going to constantly flow as long as you're breathing and moving. And your brain's always going to tick and always going to ask all these questions.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're right. It doesn't matter, but I am sad that you guys are both going to die one day. And I guess we can end it on that.
Are you afraid of death?
R.I.P. Matt and Danny.
You're afraid of death.
I'm pretty afraid of death, yeah.
I forgot that was a dinner talk. That wasn't a podcast.
Don't be afraid of death, though.
Why?
Because it's like what most people say. It's from one vehicle to another vehicle. I can only imagine death is... Well...
Just that.
I mean, when you're born,
it's
a
release.
Really,
it's got to be as beautiful as being born.
I think death is just a release. Relief. Or a release. It's a release from your cocoon.
Yeah. Ramdas.
Like your spirit needs... A break from being in this body.
Ram Dass had a friend, an imaginary friend, called Emmanuel, that he would talk to, and just like a... He would... So I think someone would actually... what do they call that? Channel. They would channel this being, and he would ask it questions. And he asked Emmanuel, this spirit being, he said, what's death like? And he said, don't worry about death. Death will be like taking off a tight shoe.
Hmm.
There you go.
There you go. Should we end it with an ohm? All right, start us off.
Oh.
Thanks for watching, guys. You want to play a song to end us out?
Sure, yeah. The guitars. The guitars are Stan.
Thanks for doing this with me. Here, give me a hug on camera.
Oh, wait. Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Is it going to be a three-way hug? Oh.
So happy that we all got to be here in Costa.
Yeah, Harry on us. Ooh, we could braid those. Ah, this is nice.
For all the people who don't have a video, that was just a really long hug. I'll just play a little something quick.
Play us a little something quick.
And all of my pictures with words, so everything it didn't see would eventually be heard. It's absurd, sitting eyes wide open and we're hoping, choking on that truth, saying what we're gonna do. Yeah, yeah, we're choking on that truth, saying what we're gonna do. Yeah, yeah, we're choking on that truth, saying what we're gonna do. Yeah. Always vibe with the feelings you got. I'm squirming in my sheets, sweating, screaming and hot. You're always in my head, nothing making it stop. Expression from the heart, pulse making beats drop. Yeah, yeah, we're making beats drop. Yeah, we're making beats drop. Oh yeah. Songs. I have a YouTube. That's where you can, the only place you can find my songs is on YouTube, so that's why I said that. There's nothing on Spotify, nothing on any of that stuff yet, but one day.
Cool, that'll be cool.